This morning, we're sort of continuing throughout the year on this theme of God's mission, our mission. That God has a mission to bring all people to know him and to grow in him and become like Christ. This morning we're focusing on us and the internal building up of the church particularly. And we've talked about Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria and to the ends of the earth and sort of looking at the different things. This is about the Jerusalem. This is about us in the church being transformed into what God created us to be and what he means, discovering and doing what he means for us to do as part of his mission. And one of the things that we're focusing on particularly in that is home groups, small groups. Right from the beginnings of the church, we know that people met in homes as well as met in formal places. In Acts 2, it tells us after Jesus has ascended to heaven that on the day of Pentecost, they were all together in one place. We know that was an upper room. It was a home. They weren't meeting in the temple. They were meeting together, gathered in an upper room. And that's when the Holy Spirit came, as they gathered to pray and to wait. A little bit later, after the day of Pentecost, towards the end of chapter 2, it talks about the fellowship of the believers. What a little window glimpse of what it was like for those early believers in the way they lived their life together. And starting in verse 32 of chapter 2, it says, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Now the breaking of bread there would have been sharing the communion or Eucharist service. That's a formal thing, not just having a few sandwiches together. Everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles, and all the believers were together and all had everything in common. They sold property and possessions and gave to anyone who was in need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts. Now that breaking of bread is not the formal one so much as the fact that they shared meals. Praising God and enjoying the favour of all the people, and the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. So they continued to meet in the temple courts, in the formal place, and they met in their homes around meals and shared in fellowship. So there was the two aspects, the formal gathering and the less formal gathering, that formed a very strong sense of community. And the strength of that community was how much they sensed they needed to look out for everybody, make sure everybody was cared for, that there was a sort of an equality about what happened. That people had much, made sure they were able to support those who had little. A sense that everything was in common. Now, that is sort of an indication of the transformation of knowing Jesus in the lives of these people. And so as we think about what it means to be transformed into the people of God and become who he means us to be, then it's going to bring about a sense of change, a sense of belonging to a community, not just an individual God and me type relationship, but a horizontal, we're in this together. We need to encourage one another, be there for one another, and help one another wherever we can to be as great as God wants us to be. And so I want to think about what that sort of means in terms of being part of a small group, something in a home. Now, there are a number of other places in the New Testament where we see examples of people meeting in homes. In Acts chapter 12, verse 12, Peter has been imprisoned. God does a miraculous thing, breaks his chains, and he finds himself outside. And what does he do? He goes to the house of Mary, where he knows that the some of the believers are meeting. It says, when it dawned on him, he's sort of outside and I'm free. verse 12, he went to the house of Mary, the mother of John, also called Mark, where many people had gathered and were praying. And the funny thing is, he knocks on the door. Someone opens the door. Oh, it's Peter. So surprised, closes the door, runs inside and says, oh, Peter's outside. I didn't even think to let him in the door. And then he comes in and talks and shares about what God has done. But obviously, they were meeting in a home, praying together, believing for God to do good things and praying for Peter too, no doubt. So we see an example there where they were meeting in a home to encourage one another and believe. If we go over to Acts chapter 16 in verse 40, another example of Paul and Silas who were coming out of prison. They meet. After Paul and Silas came out of prison, they went to Lydia's house where they met with the believers, encouraged them, and then they left. So the believers were meeting in Lydia's house. Now, Lydia had been converted in Philippi when Paul wanders down along a river just looking for a place to pray and finds this bunch of ladies and sitting down by the river and tells them the good news about Jesus. And Lydia accepts Jesus as her Lord and then invites them to come and stay in her house. And obviously her house becomes a place where people meet to share faith and grow in what that is. We can jump across to Romans, the end of Romans, where Paul is sending some greetings to different Christians. And in particular, he mentions here Priscilla and Aquila, who he had met. And we read about them earlier in Acts, where they became believers. And he says, greet Priscilla and in verse 3 of Romans 16. Greet Priscilla and Aquila, my co-workers in Christ Jesus. They risked their lives for me. Not only I, but all the churches and the Gentiles are grateful to them. Greet the church that meets in their house. So there was a house church meeting in their facility. And when we think about this, the church always in these examples is talked about not as a venue, but as the people. The people who are meeting there are the church. They just happen to meet in homes sometimes, and other times they meet in temple courts and other formal places. But so we've got to keep remembering when we talk about church, it's people, not places. And it's very easy for us to think of, we come to church, which is why we call it the greenhouse and not the church, because it's not the church. We are the church. And so when I met in homes and when you meet in homes in small groups, you are the church. You are being the church. And part of the broader body of Kiwanis Life as a church, meeting in smaller groupings. At the end of Corinthians chapter 1, we see the same comment to Priscilla and Aquila. If I can find the right verse. Yeah, down in verse 19, the churches in the province of Asia send you greetings. Aquila and Priscilla greet you warmly in the Lord, and so does the church that meets in their house. So obviously that was something that had been going on for some time, as Paul writes two different letters at two different times relating to that particular church. If we jump across to Colossians chapter 4, we find a lady called Nympha who has a church in her house. In verse 15 it says, give my greetings to the brothers and sisters in Laodicea, to Nympha and the church in her house. So again, another person who has a church meeting in their home. And by church we just mean a group of believers wanting to grow and understand what Jesus has done and to be transformed and live out the life that he's called them to. Again, we can jump across to Philemon, one of the smallest books in the New Testament, just one chapter. And here Paul is writing to Philemon, who was probably a very well-off believer. And in verse 1 he says, Paul, the prisoner of Christ, and Timothy, our brother, to Philemon, our dear friend and fellow worker, and to Apphia, our sister, and Archippus, our fellow soldier, and to the church that meets in your home. So Philemon had a church meeting in his home. So whilst there are not a lot of other specific references, there's a clear indication that there are many times when the church met formally and many times when the church met less formally, and some of those churches probably were basically only meeting in those homes. In that era, it was an era of persecution. It wasn't a time when it was possible for the Christian believers to build a building to meet in. The Romans would not allow them to build a place of worship. And so it was, to some degree, an underground movement. They could meet in some of the already established Jewish buildings, synagogues, at times temples, but they were not able to build new ones. And later in the New Testament period, the Romans even kicked all of the Jews out of Rome and other places, and they weren't even able to meet in their formal places. And we know today, in many countries, the only option that people have got to meet as the church is to meet in homes, almost as an underground movement. They can't have a gathering the size of this at all. There might be a church of this size, but we're meeting in lots of individual homes and networking those small house churches together. And we have the privilege here of no persecution. We can have the best of both worlds. We can come here on a Sunday or a Wednesday night and meet together and share in a larger group where we can worship God, praise Him together, and hear teaching and preaching and have no persecution. But we can also meet in our homes during the week at different times in smaller groups where we can actually engage with the Word of God together, discuss it, get right into it, talk about how it affects me. I mean, a sermon is great, but it's more like a lecture. You're hearing something that might encourage you, but you can't say, oh, but what about, well, you could, but we'd be here all day if everybody asked questions the whole time. But in a small group, you can ask those questions and you can explore, what does this really mean for me? You can get right into it and you can talk about your experiences, whether it's worked or not worked, and encourage one another about that, pray about it, and really grow together in understanding of what it means to live for Jesus and to be transformed into what He wants us to be. And so, as we think about that, what are some of the benefits of being in a small group? We've just put together a fresh leaflet of our current groups that's in your bulletin today. And if you're not part of a group, I would like you to think about being part of a group. There are so many benefits of being part of a group. Sometimes it's just not possible for a season, and we understand that. But to just be lazy about it or not even think about it is not something that you should be doing. You should be intentional about thinking, does God want me to be part of a small group for my own growth and to be able to encourage and share and build others up at the same time? And it's also a place that quite often we can invite people who are just wanting to explore faith, who might not be very comfortable about walking straight in on a Sunday morning to a church service. But they might come and visit you. If they know you, they might come and visit in your home with a few others and begin to explore an understanding of faith. And then they can ask all the questions that they've got. I can think of some home groups that I've been in where we've had someone's been invited who was a new Christian. We had a study we were going to do, and we spent the whole night answering the questions of this person about faith. And by the end of the night, we were just so excited that we were able to just engage with them and help them think through what it might mean to be a Christian. Or answer all their, well, we don't always have all the answers, but at least engage with them on those things that they were wanting to explore about whether faith was real, whether Jesus really did what, or maybe they didn't even know much about Jesus. We're able to go back to real basics. And you know what? Sometimes, even though you think, oh, well, that was all about them, but you grow so much when you are actually articulating your faith and answering and sharing with someone else who's exploring that. It makes you think through the stuff that you believe, and whether it really is just something you know or whether it's something you're living and is real in your life. So home groups are so good for some of those things. Now, when we talk about belong, believe, become, and we try and endeavour to do stuff like that in a larger sense, in a home group setting, the belonging means that you actually are with a small group of people that you can actually get to know really well. Sunday morning, we might have some conversations around coffee about all sorts of things, but you often don't get to a really deep level. You often don't share what your life has been like in the last week or so, or what challenges you're facing, or some things that are happening in your life that are causing you stress, and all sorts of things. In a small group, there's that opportunity to get to know people well, to know when they're up, to know when they're down, to celebrate when the good things are happening, and pray with them and encourage them when the down things are happening. And you actually begin to feel like, I belong to this group of people. I really feel like this is a group of people that I want to be with that actually help me in my daily life and walk. So that sense of belonging, being part of the community, that some of that sort of early church stuff about community, it's small groups where a lot of that really happens, where we discover someone's got a need and we go out of our way to help them, whether it's a member of our group or someone who that group knows about or someone else in the church that we can sort of focus and say, as a group, we could do this. As individuals, we may not be able to do it, but as a group, we can do something about that, and in a practical sense. So that sense of belonging and community. Home groups is a great place to go deeper in that. And some people we hear as pastors say, I find it really hard to connect in the church. I don't feel like I quite belong, you know. I don't really know many people. I come every week, but I still feel like I'm a bit of a on the edge. Well, the place to change that is home groups, where you get to know people, where you get to feel connected to people, and you really begin to feel like you belong. And so I'd really encourage you, if that's one of the things that you're feeling, explore being part of a home group. And as David so rightly said, you know, you can look up the groups and see what's near you, or you can look around and see the people that you know and ask them, what group are you in? But go and test the water. Don't just sort of straight off commit, I want to join your home group. You turn up on the first night and you think, oh, this isn't for me, and now what have I done? You know, that's fine. Like, turn up and see whether there's that sort of sense that this is the right place for you. And if it's not, then explore a different group. But sometimes it does take you a few weeks to get to sort of settle in and get to know people. And so give it a bit of time sometimes. But if it's straight out is not the thing for you, just be polite and say, I really enjoyed exploring the group, but I don't think this is the right group for me. I'll keep looking. Feel free to do that sort of thing. And all of us as group leaders, I'd be very happy to have you visit, check us out, see if it sort of is the right one for you. And if it's not, then there's others to explore. And if none of those suit you, you can always start one. Gather a few other people and start one. We would love to add more groups in. We've got 9 groups at the moment on this list, but there's plenty of scope for more groups to start in different areas. The second part is believe. You know, what do you believe? And how Mark's message was a great one in the sense of, you know, we say we believe lots of things, but then our life doesn't often match our belief because we haven't been transformed into those things. Well, home groups, again, is another place where you can actually begin to explore the depth of your belief, and not just what you know, but the stuff that you're learning to actually put into practice to become what Christ wants you to be. And so the believe stuff is exploring faith in that level where you can ask the questions, express your doubts, talk about the things you don't believe as well as the things you do believe, so that we can explore that stuff together and come to a deeper understanding of what the Bible's telling us, teaching us, what Jesus is about and what God's mission is about and what that might mean for us. And for people who are exploring faith, they might come and have a sense of, oh, I really enjoy the social connection with these people, I'm feeling a sense of belonging. And in the home group, then, they're going to grow into a deeper understanding and come to that place of believing for themselves in Jesus as their Lord and Saviour. And then keep growing in that and discipling one another into the way we actually implement that. And that brings us to the next bit, which is the becoming stuff. Becoming who Christ made us. And discovering that, discovering what he's gifted us for, exploring how we can actually live that out, where are the places in our workplace, in our homes, and the broader church fellowship and ministries where we really have something that God has given us to contribute. And then exploring that with the group's encouragement and beginning to actually grow into that stuff that God has put into you. Most Aussies don't like self-promoting. We feel like no one likes people who are trying to push themselves, but sometimes in the group people can encourage you to say, I see you are really good at this. You ought to explore that. You know, you ought to get involved with a bread ministry. You ought to get involved with a music ministry because you've got such a gift, you know. And most of us are going to say, oh, no, no, no. But with encouragement and nurture and opportunities to test out those things, we can discover and grow into all sorts of things that we probably never believed we could be doing for Jesus just by the backing and support of a group of people who understand you, know you, and want to promote you into all that God has got for you. And one of the other things that comes with that becoming is, you know, we have needs. Not everything works out well in our life. Sometimes we've messed up badly. Sometimes we've done, we've got health issues and things like that that are inhibiting us. And here's a place where people can actually care for you, support you, and help you get through some of that stuff. Who are going to, more than on a Sunday morning, just say, oh, we'll pray for you. They are actually going to do it in the group. They're going to follow you up maybe during the week and say, how did that medical appointment go? Or how did you go when you had to go back into that situation and face that person that you messed up with, you know? and just pray and encourage and help you grow and become what God wants you to be. When we talk about pastoral care, the best place for care for one another to happen is in small groups, because people know you. Yes, there's some good stuff that we can do structurally and organised way as a church, but the best stuff happens when you're actually engaging with people in your small group, looking after them when they've got a need, that sort of stuff. All these things can work together, both the organised and the informal stuff that happens in homes. And I can't sort of promote home groups enough, because I just know how much they benefit me and how much they could benefit you. And as a church, how much it would deepen the life that we have together and help more and more people feel like they really are part of this community. So, if you belong to a group, your group will no doubt be on here. If you don't belong to a group, why not explore that? Why not think about, you know, what sort of group you might want to be part of? And each of the groups gives a little bit of an idea of some of the things about what they do on this. You can contact the leader and talk to them about that group. You can contact the hosts and say, you know, can we just pop in on your next group and check it out? Do something about it. And particularly if you're sort of feeling, like I mentioned, that I don't really fit or belong, I'm not sure, you know, I feel like I'm on the fringe. Well, move from the fringe towards the centre by becoming part of a small group that can help you grow and connect and feel part of the community. That's my challenge for this morning. That the church is not just Sunday morning gathering, it is what we do in all of our life, and that home groups can be a really important part in that whole picture of what is going to support and encourage you and build the church and help us to be transformed into the people who are going to fulfill God's mission. And yeah, they are great. So home groups, are you part of one? Should you be part of one? Are you going to be part of one? It's up to you. So God bless you, and I just pray you will find a group that you can be part of, belong to, and have a great sense that this is a very important part of my spiritual life and growth.